Good evening and welcome to another Agar meditation session. Today's topic is to observe your feelings. Most people don't understand the difference between emotions and feelings. Feelings are internal and emotions are expressions of these feelings. When we are unable to observe our feelings or fail irresponsibly or carelessly, then these feelings manifest as emotions. And then these emotions can affect us, and when they are expressed can also bring suffering onto the person towards whom we direct these emotions. Love, for example, is a beautiful feeling. But the moment you want to express that love, it becomes an emotion. Welcome to Agar Meditation, and we will explore these feelings today, and that's the objective of this session, which will bring us into maturity, bring us all the maturity that we deserve, and will take us one notch up in our effort to evolve ourselves. It is very important for us to observe our feelings rather than hurry in expressing our feelings, whether it is frustration, agitation, irritation, whether it's anxiety, restlessness, or whether it is even sadness, sorrow, grief, envy, hatred, jealousy, whatever that emotion is, we are always in a hurry to express our emotions. Take the traffic, for example. People honk. That's because they want to express their emotions. They are so restless. They're so immature, and that is the reason why they honk. It's because of the lack of maturity to simply observe their feelings that they are so ready to express themselves emotionally and bring in such a chaos in the traffic system. Follow the queue system, for example. Again, people are readily, carelessly willing to express their emotions, bringing disrepute to themselves and tarnishing their self-worth and self-respect. It's important for every person who is in the path of evolution to bring to themselves the maturity that they so badly need so that they can always be aware when they are behaving themselves. And for this, it is absolutely necessary that we must observe our feelings. The moment we allow ourselves to become careless, then feelings manifest as emotions and we express them, and then there's disturbance to us and disturbance to everyone in our vicinity. So let's do a few practices today that can help us observe these feelings. Today is a day of introspection rather than meditation. We are going to do some introspection, and that's the difference that we are going to bring about in this session. So first and foremost thing, let us observe these three feelings. One is sadness, the second is fear, and the third is aggression. All right? So the three feelings are sadness, fear, and aggression. So let us first of all start observing them one by one. First, let us observe sadness. Sadness is a feeling that actually is given to us so we can be compassionate towards others, so we can reflect upon the pain and suffering that someone is going through, so that we can be ready and stand up to help, whether it is a person or whether it is an animal or a bird or a plant or a tree. We can always show compassion towards all these life forms. That's why sadness is given to us. But now, since the emotion of sadness is manifested, it becomes sorrow, grief, self-pity. So now let us observe sadness. I want you to look at one of the desires that you so badly wanted to manifest, which did not manifest. If you can recollect a memory of a desire that you so badly, so much wanted to manifest, but which did not manifest. I want you to look at this desire and observe the feeling. Observe the feeling. Please do not absorb the feeling, okay? There's a difference between observing the feeling and absorbing the feeling. When you absorb the feeling, you actually begin to feel sorrow and grief. But when you observe the feeling, you're observing sadness. You're observing unhappiness. All right? So now I want you to recollect this memory of a desire that you so badly wanted to manifest, but which did not manifest. When you think about this, just observe the sadness or the unhappiness. Okay, now I have a question for you. How many of you were able to observe sadness? Can any one of you raise your hand if you've been able to observe sadness? Okay, Puneetji, can you please express?
Yeah, good evening, Mahesh.
Good evening.
It is very difficult to observe and not absorb, as you said. We were trying to do it, mm-hmm. but then finally you feel bad for remembering the memory and not able to, you know, feel bad for it, mm-hmm. which did not manifest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we tried to do it.
Yes, Amardeep, yes. Amardeep, do you want to unmute? Amardeep, do you want to unmute? Okay. Yes, Shilpa? Okay. Yes, Shilpa? Shilpa, can you unmute, please?
Hello?
Yes, Shilpa.
Doc?
Yes, we are here. Please. We can hear you.
Okay. So initially, I think I was absorbing because I got a little emotional. But by then you explained the difference between rather not to absorb and to observe. So after a few seconds or so, that feeling, that emotion kind of... I won't say went away, but it really subsided and I could feel a hollow feeling in my stomach, in my gut. That is what I experienced.
Yes, you're actually absorbing the emotion. That's why you have a hollow feeling in the gut.
Oh.
Yes.
It's really difficult to... if you could maybe explain a little further how we need to do this.
We just observe. The body goes through the emotions. The feelings are unmanifest. The feelings of sadness, the feeling of fear, and the feeling of aggression is unmanifest. What manifests are the emotions. So instead of observing the feelings, you're observing the emotions. Right? That's what you're doing. So it takes maturity for you to understand the difference between feeling and emotion. This is the reason why we react most of the time. It's because we are immature. So when something happens, for example, somebody said they are going to come at a particular time, and suddenly they didn't call, they didn't inform, they don't turn up, and you've been expecting them, and suddenly you feel sad. And at that moment, if you observe your feeling, instead of getting emotional, you will see that the mind wants to play victim. Just observe, and immediately you will pull yourself up and say that it's okay that the person didn't turn up. Now I can do the program all by myself. This is how you behave. This is maturity. This is maturity. When you just observe the feelings are unmanifest. The mind wants to manifest those feelings as emotions. And then that plays havoc on your physiology, on your body and the mind. So you just have to observe the feelings. First you observe the feeling, and then you'll understand how these feelings manifest. All right? You just have to observe. You just have to pull yourself back. When it's a memory, the memory has manifested in your physiology, which is why you feel the hollow in the gut, which is why you feel a heaviness in your chest, which is why you feel tightness in your jaws, which is why you want to make a tight fist, which is why you get acidity, which is why you get a headache. It's because these feelings have already manifested in your body. But now you have to withdraw that energy which you have invested, which is causing these emotions to exist. So the way to withdraw these emotions is to just observe. When you observe, these emotions come back and settle as feelings. That is the practice that you have to do. All right, so let's start another one. Let's take fear for an example. Imagine a future situation, a past, something that has not happened. Just project it in the future. It could be writing an exam, expecting a result. It could be catching a flight or going to the railway station to catch a transport. It could be attending office. It could be being late to work or trying to hurry up to work. It could be anything that causes you to feel anxious. Any futuristic thought. So imagine a situation from your memory wherein you had a futuristic goal of reaching some place, could be a railway station, an airport, or a hotel, or a meeting, or office, wherever. Observe again. This time, observe the feelings. Don't get emotional. All right? So let's now invoke this memory of wanting to go to the meeting, wanting to go to the airport, wanting to go to the railway station. Observe how the mind behaves. Let's start this practice now. All right. Now, is there anyone who would want to want to express their activity. How was it? How was it trying to observe your fear? Anyone? Were you able to do it or you were not able to do it? Was there anyone who was not able to do it? Okay, I don't understand the silence. Yes, Shilpa?
Doc, I don't want to always keep raising my hand, but since no one else did. I think even this time I was absorbing because there was a slight feeling of butterflies in my stomach. I mean, that was the only thing. And then it, as the time passed, it came down, but it didn't go away.
Right. That's absorbing fear. You're right. Is there anyone else? We all have our highs and lows. Yes, Kavita. Yes, Kavita.
Yes, sir. It's the same feeling. I think we. I'm observing the feelings, but I don't know how to observe it. So again, like when I think of some fear situation, and then my head started aching. I think we need a little practice or a few more guidance on how to observe the feeling.
Yes, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Yes, Induji.
Namaste, sir.
Namaste.
I actually have the similar situation for fear as well as the previous emotion which you asked us to observe.
Mm-hmm.
And when the situation is going on, I am actually feeling very fearful. But only while sitting in the meditation, when I'm observing it, it is not giving me any emotions. I don't know. I am not touched by the fear at all.
Yeah. So when I'm asking you to observe it, you're actually able to observe it. That's what you mean to say.
It's not giving me fear at all. Whereas it's just, I think, half an hour before this session, and I'm sure after this session for the next week, I'm in fear thinking of the outcome. I'm actually fearful, and I don't know why I'm not feeling the fear now.
Yeah, that's because you're observing. One possibility is that of the social consciousness, which means that the place where you live in or the community that you're connecting to, if this community are people who feel fear very often, then by connecting to that fraternity or your office colleagues, will make you feel fear.
No, sir. Precisely, this is what I wanted to ask you. Like the way I'm able to observe, can I do something that I do not get that intention when I'm facing it otherwise?
Absolutely. All you have to do is to just observe. All you have to do is to just observe your feelings.
It's not easy when I'm handling the situation myself. It is easy when I'm sitting in the preset environment for meditation, I think, sir.
Right. You see, the point is awareness. Awareness is not about sitting meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness is all the time. It is right now. So it's like when you are in office from Monday to Friday, if you are aware, then you can observe your feelings. When you observe your feelings, you are better equipped to take decisions. But when you play yourself into the emotion, then it's very difficult to take decisions. Taking decisions becomes extremely stressful, and that could lead to a lot of symptoms like headaches, joint pains, or it could be cervical pains, it could be acidity. You could have all those symptoms when you allow yourself to play into those emotions. So you just have to observe. That's what you have to do. Practice observing.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Yes, Vijay.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you. So I was pretty much able to do that. What I did was I just played the situation as it played in the screen in mm-hmm. front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of disassociated myself.
Right.
And I just watched it, or rather I observed it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. You were able to do it. Very good. Very good. So when you are mature, when you're ripe enough, then you no longer want to participate. Then you are willing to just become the observer rather than indulge and suffer. So that maturity is very, very important. The two ways of arriving at this maturity. One is that you've gone through so much that there's no other way but to just grow out of this. The other way is to actually practice disassociating yourself, like what which I mentioned. But there is a practice to do. This is where the practice of the figure of eight comes in. The figure of eight is actually a practice that you can do to disassociate yourself from all the emotions that try to get to you. I'm just going to share this image with you. I hope you're able to see this image. Yes, I want to know, are you all able to see this image?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. So now I'm just blowing this lower circle. Yeah, I'm just blowing this lower circle. So what I want you to do now is just focus on the lower circle. So the self circle, the self, where it's written self, imagine yourself and you are looking at the circle from above as if you are looking at it from a helicopter. Imagine that you're just looking at it from a helicopter and you just have to move your index finger counterclockwise. Move your index finger counterclockwise. And I want each one of you to do this practice until you imagine or feel a circle around you on the ground. Just keep doing this practice until you can imagine or feel this circle on the ground. Just keep drawing it counterclockwise. I'm going to give you about a minute with this practice. This circle is your inner space. You have to guard this inner space viciously. No matter how close the person is, no matter how well you know the person, you're not going to allow the person anywhere near to you. Whether it's a person, whether it's a memory, whether it's a thought, whether it's an emotion, no matter what it is, you're not going to allow any of it in this circle. This is divine. This is your garbhagriha. This is, imagine, you are the divine self and this is the sanctum sanctorium in which you exist. So none of those emotions, none of those thoughts, none of those relationships will come into this. So you have to practice this and it will protect this circle viciously. Now let's come to the other circle, the one which in which you have the other, word written here. Now this is where we will visualize or imagine a relationship or a thought or an activity, a person, whatever that we want to disassociate with. So the disassociation is not about disassociating with a person or an event, or it's not about disassociating from anything physical or tangible. We are working with our perceptions. Like when I asked you to imagine, recollect a past event, it was your memory that you were getting affected from. That event itself has transpired, does not even exist right now. But still the emotions are fresh as if it happened a moment ago. So you're going to work with those emotions, those relationships, and those memories that you have. So now, given this knowledge, we're going to do this practice. Now I want you to now focus on something which can produce sadness. Okay, something that can take away your happiness from you. Imagine the situation. When the situation arrives, I want you to draw a clockwise circle around it and a counterclockwise circle around yourself, forming the number 8. Okay, now keep drawing the circle with your index finger. You can draw it on thin air, you can draw it on a table, you can draw it on your lap, you can draw it on any surface that you want to draw it on. So now I want you to just recollect this experience and redo this practice of drawing the figure of 8 so that you can disassociate all the negative impressions that you have created pertaining to this memory. Go ahead. Come back to conscious awareness. Now I want you to share with the group, what was it like? Anyone? What was the outcome when you did the practice? Was the sadness as intense as it was before? Or were you able to disconnect from the sadness? How was it? Yes, Shilpa.
I had no feelings at all, Doc. Nothing.
Yes. Yes, that's the way it has to be. You're just observing the feeling. You had the feeling, but you did not feel emotional about it. That's what you mean to say.
Yes, Doc.
All right. So as another person says, could disconnect. Very good. Very good. It's absolutely important to just allow feelings to be as they are, and not let them manifest as emotions. Yes, Rashmi.
Is there also you almost forget about what even you were sad about? No, I felt like, what was I even sad about? When I opened my eyes, what was it? It was that kind of thing.
Excellent, excellent. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Don't give these memories undue importance. Don't give them the importance. They are just memories that have occurred, instances that have occurred, but you don't have to give it any importance. Learn from it. That's very, very important. Always learn from your past, but don't maintain your past memories like a bank balance. It's not good for you. Yes. Yes, Shilpa.
Doc, a question here. Right now we're doing it for a memory, but sometimes, like for example, fear, like traveling or some future event, some, you know, function, something which makes us fearful. So can we do this for that as well, or does this work best with only with memories?
No. This works, like I told you, with people, with acquaintances, with memories, with futuristic thoughts, with everything. When I'm talking about emotion, fear manifests as anxiety and restlessness, which is nothing but a past projection, a future projection of your past. That's what anxiety and restlessness is. You are just projecting your past in the future because you don't want your future to be a repetition of what has happened in the past. So that's why you get so anxious, you get so nervous, you feel so restless. Those emotions manifest in the future. So when you feel like that, then you start practicing this figure of eight.
So Doc, okay, like for example, I get really nervous and restless about traveling. The moment the decision is made, I think I've mentioned this to you a few times. You know, I start getting restless and my mind starts working overtime. So do I have to work? And this happens every time I travel. So do I have to work on my memories to remove this fear for a future event that is going to happen, or should I work for the future event that is going to happen? It's travel. It's all travel connected.
Observe. You forgot the basics. Observe. Observe the feeling. Don't let it manifest as an emotion, and don't let it throw you around.
Thank you.
It takes awareness for you to just observe. The more you allow these emotions to manifest, and then you need a practice to get out, it's going to be difficult. It's like trying to wear a swimsuit after getting into the water. Once you're in the water, you're all wet. There's no point in wearing a swimsuit. All right? So you wear a swimsuit and get into the water. Likewise, prepare for any adversity. Be it sadness, be it fear, or be it aggression. Prepare for adversity, which is why the practices become so important and necessary. Always be busy in preparation. It won't let you down.
So, just further on this. So when I'm observing, when the thought comes, when I'm observing it, so do I need to focus on my breath and bring an awareness into it?
Okay, you are getting into the mind now. I'm not going to answer this. All right?
Okay, thank you, Doc.
Gauss, you had raised your hand. What was it? Gauss, you had raised your hand. Do you want to say something? Gauss, are you there? All right, I think, yes, he's here, yes. All right, fine. So, yes, Akbar. Akbar, please unmute. Miss, can you speak? We're not able to hear you, though. Okay, you probably have to come back. You probably have to log off and log in so that we can hear you. Thanks. So it's important for us to... So this is where the difference is. Emotions which are unmanifest and feelings which have manifested themselves in the body. So I was talking about love. So let's say, for example, that you feel love towards an animal. You look at a very cute donkey, or you look at a puppy, or look at a kitten, and you feel so much love, or maybe a fledgling. You feel so much love, all right? You have to stop at that. You feel love, you have to stop at that. But what is that we do? We get emotional. Now you want to go hug the donkey, you want to pick up the fledgling or the pup or the kitten. You want to pick it up, you want to caress it, you want to cajole it, you want to put it on your lap, take it in your arms, and then you want to listen to its whining or its chirping or its braying. You want to, whatever it is to do, you want to listen to it, and then you want to appreciate that. So you go berserk. You really literally go berserk expressing your emotions. It is horrible. You should never do that. You have to just allow feelings to be feelings. Appreciate it. When the love occurs, observe it. Enjoy it. But don't let it manifest as emotions. Yes, Akbar.
Good evening, Doctor.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. This practice of figure of eight, I am not able to actually understand, for just a clarity.
Okay.
Because just for a clarity, I am just telling how I understand. As a self, I have to become an other and just observing me.
No. See, there are thoughts, there are memories.
Right.
There are thoughts, there are memories, there are emotions which are attached to these memories. And then there are relationships, how you relate to people. For example, your daughter, you are attached to your daughter, right?
Right.
Now, attachment breeds concern. Attachment breeds worry. Attachment breeds pain and suffering.
Right.
Now, your daughter at this very moment, this second, right now, is fine.
Yes.
That's all that matters. But what is it that we do? We project a past memory of your daughter being in a particular situation, you project it in the future and you worry, what if she is the way she was in the past? What if she becomes like that? Now you project the past into the future and begin to worry.
Right.
When such things happen, then what you do is immediately take the figure of eight.
Okay.
Immediately do the figure of eight, put the thought or the memory or the person in your imagination into the other circle.
Okay.
And you are in the self circle.
Right.
All right. And then draw these with your index finger, draw the circle clockwise around the memory or the thought or the imagination of the person. Go clockwise around that and counterclockwise around yourself, forming the figure of eight.
Okay.
Is this
right, Doctor. Now I got. Just the other one is ask this question that also I want to understand, that what happens at that particular moment, just imagine, just it is an imagination or self. As I am realizing that thing is happening now, how to react on that?
What, even if it is happening right now, you still put that now moment into the other circle.
Okay.
Let us say, for example, that we are arguing.
Yes.
Now, desperately, you want to stop participating in this argument.
Right.
Then you put me into the other circle, start running your finger clockwise around me and counterclockwise around yourself. You will stop judging me and you will stop being a victim of my judgment of you.
Okay.
All right. So then you free yourself. That's what you do in the now moment. So whether it is the now moment or whether it is the past or whether it is the past projected in the future, at all times, this practice works.
Right. Now I got cleared now. Right, Doctor. Thank you.
Right. So someone has asked, can we have written PDF on this? I think I have explained it. It is your responsibility to remember. Don't give me a homework. So you can remember what I have spoken, and if you have questions, you can clarify right now instead of giving me a homework of giving you a written PDF. So these sessions are being recorded. So if you want, you can listen to the recording. So that will be better. So you have to be responsible in remembering what is being said. But if your mind is busy with questions while I'm clarifying your doubts, then you will not remember what I'm saying. So first be attentive, listen to the answers, and then if you have any questions, you can ask. The best way is to write down your questions and then ask, rather than keeping your mind busy with the questions. Are there any other questions? Yes, Sona.
So when say you're having an argument with your partner, then can you still do the figure eight?
Absolutely. Home is okay. The best place to practice, because that's the one place where nobody cares about you.
Okay.
Yes.
As in, my doubt is that you had said that you can't cut cords with your partner, right? But this is basically that situation that you're cutting cords with, and
You're not cutting cords at all. You're not doing any of those things here. You are simply preventing yourself from judging the other person's actions and intentions. You're not making things up in your head. And at the same time, you are preventing yourself from being a victim of the other person's judgment and behavior and other person's thoughts of you. So, how a person says what he or she says, all right? How the person says what he or she says, you just simply have to stop getting affected by that.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Right? Because when people express themselves, they are not expressing in the moment. All the accumulated hurt, accumulated anger, accumulated fear, everything comes to this moment. They just want to bring all of it out and just dump it upon you. So why would you want to take it? And that's why you do the figure of eight. So whether it's a memory, whether it's a person, whether it's a projection of the past and the future, it always is an accumulated effect. It's never just that. It's always accumulated, which is why this practice becomes so important. So you have to practice it all the time. Don't anticipate, don't try to work on the situation when the argument begins, because in all probability, you'll remember only after the argument has subsided. So it's better to be prepared. Even when there is no argument, even when the relationship is cordial, it is important that you practice this so that you can keep this environment peaceful.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? All right. So let's now go into the situation of anger. Aggression, when the feeling of aggression. Now, what is aggression? Aggression is a feeling that is given to us so we can exhibit strength which is beyond our known ability when we have to help someone. For example, a car has stopped and you have to push the car. You bring out your aggression and you push the car. You're not angry. You're not irritated or frustrated. You're just pushing the car. It may not be even your car. It could be your neighbor's car. But you just pitch in and start pushing. At that time, you realize that you alone, at times, you realize you alone were able to push the car. That's because you brought aggression into play. It's a very healthy feeling. But when you abuse aggression, it becomes anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, rage, and all of that. And that really plays havoc with your life. It spoils relationships. It breeds illnesses. Cancer is one of the manifestations of anger or rage or hate or envy or jealousy. Cervical spondylosis, gastric acidity, acid reflux, GERD, tinnitus, ringing in the ears, burning sensation in your eyes, glaucoma, mouth ulcers, you name it, heartburn, there's so many symptoms that occur, colon cancer, for example, ulcerative colitis, all of these are gallstones, all of these liver cirrhosis, non-alcoholic liver cirrhosis, all of these are manifestations of the feeling of aggression, which has manifested itself as an emotion. How irresponsible are we? You just have to bring in that maturity, that responsibility. Don't use your feelings so irresponsibly. Bring some maturity. That is spirituality. Being mature is spirituality. Don't use these emotions wildly. Restrain them. This is why observing these feelings is so important, so you just don't let them out. Don't start exploding. Always restrained. You don't have to participate. You don't have to win an argument. Even if you did win an argument, you lose the whole day being frustrated. It takes a lot of effort to subdue the other person because the other person also does not want to give in. The end result would be a bad day. It's better to have a good day by losing an argument or letting the other person win the argument. But you won the day. The other person would definitely be suffering. I remember an experience where someone told me that whatever evaluation that I announced about the Nadi Pariksha appointment, the person, he was telling me that I was wrong. But I told him, you have every right to say I'm wrong, but I know this body of knowledge. 3 months later, he called me and he said he wanted to apologize. 3 months. Imagine, 90 days he suffered wanting to call me and apologize. And he said, on that day, whatever you said was right, but I did not have the courage to accept it. Imagine, 90 days he had suffered. And I just walked out of that argument. I refused to participate when he said that whatever I'm saying is wrong. It's absolutely fine for someone to call you anything. You don't become that because someone said so. Have the self-worth and the self-respect. You know who you are. Have that maturity. Which is why it is important for you to just observe your feelings and not let them manifest. Now let us look at aggression. I want you to, again, aggression or anger or jealousy, envy, hatred, rage, all of these come from your past. Go back to your memory. Pick up a memory that you're so angry about. It could be a person, but always the attachment is to that event or the person is through an experience. Resurrect that memory which produces anger or frustration or irritation or agitation. When you're looking at it, run the figure of eight around that memory or the person, clockwise around the person and counterclockwise around yourself, forming the figure eight. Okay, so can anyone who has not come before, who's not raised their hand before, can you Can you tell me what happened? Can you tell me what happened when you thought of this memory and run the figure of eight? What happened to that emotion of anger? Did you still feel so angry? Anyone here? Indraji, do you want to say something? Yes, yes, Akbar, tell me.
Yes, doctor, just last week, it is your office meeting where I was provoked to get angry. I still in the same situation. I just put the same situation. At that time, I'm a little angry because it was provoked. Okay. That you are doing something wrong, but I am thinking that I was right. It was just a matter of judgment. But now the same situation I put now, now I have thought that the situation could be, can be easily let off. Now I don't get angry for the same moment. As of now, I am just looking at the, as a self under, putting the other person on the other side.
Right. But what is important for you to understand here is to learn from the experience. It's always important to let the other person's ego win and not let your ego win. All right? So the way to do this is when the other person says that you did not do this, it is important for you to document it. So we had one of our very early clients who became our family friend over a number of years. This person started documenting everything because he was never sent on site. He was always, whenever the opportunity to go on site came, he was always looked over, and they didn't give him the opportunity. When he started documenting everything, not only did they take notice of what he was doing, even the management took notice of what he's doing, and he's become an exemplary employee in the organization. They all look up to him and say, point the finger, if you want to be successful, you have to follow him. That's the kind of practice he's put in. So you just have to put your process together. Many of us are irresponsible in giving verbal notifications, verbal commitments, and people just take us for a ride. Now, when we act irresponsibly and carelessly, we can't blame the other and say that I was provoked. All right, you have to be responsible for your actions. So when you put this thought ahead, saying that I am responsible for my actions, then you will make sure that all the steps you need to deal with are in place so that nobody pulls you up unnecessarily.
Right, sure.
That's the learning that we have to draw upon ourselves. Now, intelligent people learn from others' experiences. And there are actually, to be honest, very few intelligent people. Most of us learn from a hard-hitting experience rather than learning quickly. We learn very slowly and we learn. And sometimes we forget our learning and go back into the same situation after some time. So it's important for us to always learn. Thank you.
Doctor, in some situation, actually, just the same situation, in some office meetings, usually what happened is we put some ideas, right?
Right.
We put our proposals.
Right.
But other person is simply started denying the proposal. And even they don't listen to us, why we are putting that proposal, what is, they don't give us even opportunity to speak. In the meetings, usually what happens, they overpower and they prove themselves to be right. They started shouting. So at that moment, we have to be little impatient and getting, until unless we do not able to convey our point, until unless we get shout.
Okay, just a minute.
Real problem.
So I want to bring some clarity into this. Why would someone shout? Why would someone start raising their voice?
Because they want themselves to be right.
They want themselves to be right. So what is the emotion that's playing in their head?
It's some ego.
Fear. Fear.
Fear, right.
Fear is playing. They're anxious. They're restless. So when a person becomes anxious and restless, they start preempting failure.
Right.
And they start becoming aggressive. So when a person becomes aggressive, all you have to do is to observe, because the person is going through anxiety.
But doctor, if we don't put our point, then the, all the things, it's just like accepting that he is right.
Effort, if you are, please understand that every time, this is for all of us, every time we are planning, every time we are strategizing, every time we are planning, please realize that your efforts are emboldening you. They are rewiring your neurons. They are strengthening your resolve. You're learning new methodologies. You're learning new ways of doing old things. You are improvising. You are evolving. The process is important. It is not about the result. So every time you put yourself into an innovative thought, then you are becoming better than yourself. The process is important. You are in an organization where the boss is scared that his seat might be taken over. So the boss is scared and the boss starts voicing differently every time a brilliant idea comes. Even before you begin to express, the boss puts you down. It happened to me when I was in a research institute. Every time we took an idea to our director, he would always tell us why something wouldn't work. And everybody stopped thinking, because they said, even if you bring in a thought, the director is anyways going to say no. So let's not think at all. But I didn't do that. What I did was I executed the idea without informing the director. And after the project became a success, we showcased the idea, the effort, and the outcome to the director. And the director was unhappy that we did not take permission prior to doing the project, at which point I told him, had we told you, the project wouldn't even had happened. So I told him on his face, and he had nothing else to do but to just look at us. He did not agree, but he had nothing towards his defense. So which is why sometimes you have to take bold steps, but not aggressive steps. Don't be angry, don't be agitated, don't lose your day. When the other person is expressing themselves, be happy that you brought yourself into innovation. The effort is important, it's not the outcome.
Right, doctor. Right. Thank you. I will definitely practice.
Yeah, it takes maturity for us to look beyond the result and just look at the effort. The effort is what prepares you to become a better person. It's not the outcome. It's never the outcome. It's always the effort that improves you as a human being. All right. So we've taken almost 18 minutes more than the scheduled time. I'm sorry if anyone had to leave this meeting midway because they were getting busy with something else. But here, before we leave, I just want to announce once again that we have the Varanasi spiritual tour coming. This is a spiritual tour, not a religious tour, which means that we are going to have a lot of these kind of reflections, a lot of these kind of practices. We are going to have satsang, which means that we are going to have a lot of questions and answering. You're going to have a lot of time, not just 45 minutes. There's a lot of, you will go many notches up in terms of your self-evolution. So those of you who are interested, we have 4 seats occupied already. We just have 6 more seats. And those who are interested can join us. It's on the September 23rd, 24th, 25th. So, and 26th, we are coming back. So this is a beautiful opportunity for you to work on yourself. We're going to have one of the beautiful things is the Manikarnika Ghat, where you will find your inside just scooped out, and you will see what really means by getting merged with consciousness. You will realize how nothing matters, how nothing really matters in this world. You'll experience those feelings. You experience the highs and the lows. And with the meditations and with these satsangs and these kind of sessions, we're going to really, really enjoy. So those who are interested, you can join us. It's going to be really, really a good session, once in a lifetime opportunity is what I look at this, because we don't know when we are going to go next together. So with this, I will close this session. Thank you very much for your participation. I really appreciate the fact that despite your busy schedule, so many of you have made it a point to join this Saturday's meditations. I'm really, really grateful for all of you for joining. Thank you. Have a good evening.